So let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being with your people and the seekers. And God, we thank you that we can laugh together, and or we're pretty sure you have a good sense of humor, and we're grateful for that. I pray that you would bless our time, that we would learn, that we would honor you, that we would learn to love each other, and learn to love you, and learn to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Taking a look at Galatians 5, verses 1 through 15. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Listen, I, Paul, am telling you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no benefit to you. Once again, I testify to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obliged to obey the entire law. You who want to be justified by the law have cut yourselves off from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, by faith, we eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. You are running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Such persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. I am confident about you in the Lord that you will not think otherwise. But whoever it is that is confusing you will pay the penalty. But my friends, why am I still being persecuted if I am practicing circumcision? In that case, the offense of the cross has been removed. I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. Gee, Paul. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another.
To his shirt, so I was saying no.
Well, if your brain works anything like mine, you are wondering what the heck I'm doing up here. Because I am definitely wondering that.
Did it take a while? Does it work?
Okay, we're with you on that too. Thanks. Always count on you, Jordan.
Different colored ones, you know.
I get to turn my own mic off on accident. There we go. I get to stand here as a. I get to get a different mic. Really wonder what I'm doing up here.
It's not as cool as that one.
Yeah. I picked the wrong runner to take a mic from, clearly. There we go. If you didn't wonder what I was doing up here before, you do now. Just going to point at the elephant in the room and say that I am not... seriously?
Let's try
I'm just going to keep talking and find me a mic that's going to work. I'm not in the best place to be talking to you about the Word of God right now. And not just because of my microphone, but because of my personal life. And as I related to the Lawsons earlier this morning when they asked how I was, I said, well, you know, I go between utter despair and delirious joy 4 or 5 times a day. Yeah, I'm just going to keep
talking. This isn't awkward.
This is cool. I'm really hoping that I don't have a total downturn while I'm up here, but if I do, then it's honest. So I've been thinking that that grace is a pretty good topic for me right now. And this chapter came up, and I've heard it said that the best person to speak about the Word of God is the person who feels like they have nothing to say. I also, in seminary, learned that one of the first expositors of the Bible, Gregory of Nazianzus, said that you shouldn't preach the Word of God unless God won't let you do anything else, because it's pretty much the worst. So I'm here, so I'm assuming that means God won't let me do anything else. I don't know. I don't understand myself terribly well these days. But fortunately, I got an easy one. For the last, how long have we been preaching Galatians? Like 2 months? 8 months? I don't know. A long time.
Yeah.
8 years. We've gotten a series of messages from mostly Dan and Steve and about the law versus grace. So I'm going to ask you a very easy question. This first verse of chapter 5 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free." What has Christ set us free from? The law? Oh, concept. Thank you for responding. So what does that mean? Christ has set us free from the law. Who cares? Like, why does that matter?
Because all that sacrificing generated a lot of blood. And if you're still having to do that, it's gross.
All right, okay, so Jesus makes the world less gross. I'll take that. Why does it matter to people who aren't bothered by animal blood?
We can't completely fulfill the law.
Oh, we can't. So, you know, Steve talked about the other day about this, what was 613 commandments and the lots of extra bonus requirements that had been added onto the law.
Now you're in really bad shape.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You can't even do the animal sacrifice.
Yeah, you're really stuck.
You got this massive, like, 2,000-year-old sin debt that's been building up, like the national debt.
And you don't even have a temple. You don't have an altar. There's no way to pay this thing. Boy, that's really
messed
really
up. Out of luck.
You know what? That's great, but you know, I think that I probably would have been fine with the Ten Commandments because I can't even keep those. I don't know about you guys. I would have stopped with that because I'm like, I'm screwed anyway. Why should I add anything to this giant pile? But we also got to learn about why. Why did the rules exist in the first place? Why was there a law? So last week we talked about how the law was a designed to point us towards Christ. The illusion of a babysitter gets used. Basically, a watchkeeper, something to keep you alive. So, the freedom from the law that Christ gives us isn't a freedom from authority or from rules, even necessarily, of all sorts. As those of you with little kids running around know, there are some lessons that are probably a little too dangerous to be learned by experience. Like, don't run in the street is one you probably shouldn't let the kid learn by experience. Because it's a pretty horrific outcome if that one goes south. So there's still authority. Christ has set us free for freedom. But not from every sensible precaution, right? But he has set us free from this task list. Sacrifice, David mentioned. That there's this requirement for sacrifice. And Stacy graphically mentioned blood all over the place. Thank you. And Paul, for the whole book of Galatians, has been pleading, don't put yourself back under that system. I mean, besides the gross part and the can't do it part because we don't have an altar, why is that going to matter? I mean, he says right here, don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. Like, why not? Like,
If you want, I mean, if you really want to try and keep all those commandments, why shouldn't you? What's it going to hurt? It negates, like, why?
Can you repeat? I can't hear what you're
saying. It negates what Christ did. Why does it negate what Christ did? Am I bugging you guys by dialogue yet? Because that's my goal.
It's like saying it wasn't important.
Saying it wasn't important? Well, I could say that Jesus was important, but I feel like I gotta keep these laws for my own reasons.
Well, Paul put it pretty simply. If we could actually adhere to the law, you know, observe it sufficiently that we could be right with God, then we wouldn't have needed Jesus. Jesus wouldn't have had to come down, you know, submit himself to a really grotesque execution ritual, you know, and, you know, create lots and lots of crucifixes and whatnot, you know, that we would litter the world with. That wouldn't be necessary if we were in any way, shape, or fashion capable of observing the law.
Everyone here, Collins?
Nope.
Yeah?
No, Collins.
If we could do it, then Jesus wouldn't have needed to come. Okay, that's fair.
But we're manifestly and observably not capable of doing it.
Yeah, so why does it matter if I try and fail? Because Paul's saying, don't try. Don't put yourself under that.
Because you're not believing what Christ came here to do.
No, I can believe it. Christ has come here to set me free, but I feel like keeping these rules. Steve!
Is it because the only way to really live in the righteousness of God is to get out from under all those commandments?
Maybe. Explain that to me. Janine! Super excited.
I raised my hand and nobody called on
me. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I think that when we follow the rules, then we're in charge. And that's God's job. That's not our job.
So sounds like you're saying...
trying to be the boss of everything because you're better than God because you can already do it yourself.
Sounds like you're saying when you're trying to follow the rules, you're doing that. I'm following the rules. And you're taking that from God. So yeah. God gets to follow the rules, or I get to follow the rules. Did I hear you right?
I'm not sure I heard you right, but...
Probably not. I'm a little confusing.
That's okay. No, I just think it's very self-righteous. It's like saying, well, you know, I'm following the law, so why do I need any help? So I'm in charge of deciding what's good and bad and right and wrong because I can do it all myself. Whereas I don't think that humans are really very good at that. And that's why we need God to say, yeah, no, that's not a great plan. Because otherwise, as history shows, our plans kind of suck.
Everyone here, Janine?
I'm trying to earn salvation.
Well, maybe. What if I say, I get that Jesus gave me salvation, but, you know, is that enough to just say that I'm going to live on after death? Maybe I should try and improve my lot right now by following some rules, by keeping some commands, by concerning myself with that. Is that a good idea? Oh, motivation matters? So what motivates us?
Gratitude.
Love.
Money.
Somebody's honest.
Competitiveness.
Yeah. So I might be motivated to keep the commands because I want to be better than Russ.
It's not hard to do.
I know. I picked carefully. You sat up front. I might keep the commands because they actually bring me material wealth. Some of the commands are actually pretty good for that. Good sense. Oh, you're that guy. Uh, I might be motivated by gratitude. Jesus did this. Jesus suffered all these wounds. Jesus got into all kinds of trouble. I should too. It's a sticky one. I think, for me, those are all such good answers. People are motivated by all kinds of wild stuff, and I do think our motivation matters. Paul is talking about circumcision in this chapter. I'll have you know, one of the reasons I'm speaking this is because certain members of our preaching team did not want to preach another circumcision sermon, Sarah. I can't blame you or Debbie for passing on it, honestly. You did one, so... And that's an identity issue. Like, what Paul is really railing against here in this particular passage is this requirement to be circumcised, which really, Sarah illustrated extremely well with the Brick Testament. Highly recommended. Putting your identity into, I'm a follower of these rules, and that sets me apart somehow. I'm better. I'm different. I've got something you don't have. Or I need something you don't need. It's a pretty twisted form of pride to say that I'm not as good as you, so I need to do this. That's what it is. And Paul says, if you take that identity, put yourself under the law that way, you gotta keep the whole thing, like David mentioned earlier. You have to keep the whole thing, and you can't. We've talked about that a little bit. So the question really is, why would, and Paul really seems to ask this question, why would anyone want to follow these rules? Why would anyone want to put themselves under that kind of strain of a rule set we know that we cannot keep? What does it get us to keep a bunch of rules?
Gets crucified.
It could.
Then God would have crucified us instead.
We can talk about that later. What does it get us, like, in real terms? Like, if I decide to go out and start keeping the Torah and the Talmud today, what do I get out of it?
A book deal?
Stress.
Stress, frustration, and the ability to say, I'm better than you. You're right. I don't really get anything worth having, it turns out. But I do get to say that I'm different. I get to say I'm unique. I can, that's true. No, you can too. We all can. But I get to say that I'm unique in this special way. I get to claim something that other people don't get to claim, or only a very small group of people get to claim. Go forward to the next slide for me here. Verse 6. Well, they don't count for anything. The only thing that counts is faith working through love. Like, faith working through love. So what's that? So I get, if I keep all these rules, I get to claim something. If I don't, then all those things that I'm claiming are useless. I don't get to claim anything for keeping rules. I don't. Paul says that the circumcision, uncircumcision. So keeping the law, don't keeping the law, it doesn't count for anything. It means nothing. It is. So what am I motivated for then? What motivates me if obeying rules and not obeying rules count the same? Like, if I can toss the law, then I get to do whatever I want?
Hardly.
Well,
at some point.
I'm sorry?
You'll have to answer for it at some point.
I'll have to answer for it at some point. Well, I mean, it seems that Paul's saying that the law doesn't count, so why would I have to answer for it? Who do I have to answer to? I mean, if Jesus has paid all of the penalties and everything, why do I have to answer to anybody? Why can't I do whatever I feel like?
Because you have to answer to Jesus. You basically accepted a deal, and he is now your boss man.
I have to answer to Jesus. Well, Jesus is pretty nice.
He is. He's also pretty holy.
Yeah.
That should scare you.
I should be frightened of Jesus. That's what I will take away today.
Well, you should work out your salvation in fear and trembling.
Oh, working out your salvation. Wow, that's an interesting one.
Lady so-and-so is going to be ticked about her flowers. That's all I'm saying.
If you love Jesus, you would try to do what he wants you to do.
Oh, there's love. Okay, good.
If you have faith, you would, then you love Jesus.
Faith working through love. Hey, this next. I think we all kind of know what we just talked about, right? Yeah, we don't get to just do whatever we want. Or rather, we do, but we should want different things than we do instinctively. Yeah, we should be grateful for what Jesus did, and we should do what he wants us to do. Absolutely. Why don't we? Like Paul asked the Galatians, you were running well. Who prevented you from obeying the truth? Why don't we do, like, when I became a Christian, when I accepted Jesus, why don't I just all of a sudden do what Jesus wants me to do? I mean, you guys would like me better. I would like me better.
Well, for me, it's a long journey. And I have successes, and I have failures, and I have had success. I felt like I've been moving in the right direction, and I felt like I've gone sideways, and I felt like I've gone backwards. But at the end of the day, I know God's going to give me some love. I'm going to get where I need to be.
Recap.
Everybody hear that? No? Okay. Rob said, it's a journey. Sometimes I have successes, sometimes I have failures, sometimes I go sideways. I like sideways. I don't know, I'm not sure what that looks like, but I felt sideways. But at the end of the day, I'm loved and accepted. Despite the failures. So it seems like there's some sort of war going on. Like, I want, from what I heard you say was, I want to do what's right, and I try, and sometimes I do it, and sometimes I don't, sometimes I go sideways, and like I'm not doing exactly what I want to do. But there's this war going on inside of me. So the reason we don't do it is because there's still something in us that's going the wrong direction. It's not pulling the right way. And Paul is irritated to no end that there apparently, among the Galatians, were people telling the Galatians that they needed to follow all these rules or they weren't in. I don't think I really need to go into why none of us would be here if that was true. I definitely would. That really is the most important thing. So in the life you live, what, I mean, Paul says a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough. This is one of Dan's favorite verses from based on our preaching team meeting. Or most frustrating verses. I don't know. Are those the same thing? Favorite and most frustrating? Same time? Okay. Yeah. I think they are. it doesn't take much legalism. It doesn't take much requirement of saying you gotta follow this rule to be in for it to take over everything. We talked earlier about how when you follow the rules, when you are in, you get some pride out of it. You get to say, I'm a little bit better than you. I'm just a little bit different than you. And it doesn't take long for that little bit to become the most important thing in your life. Paul is very concerned because it doesn't take much legalism to destroy the gospel. It doesn't take much. And then Paul says, I'm confident that you know this. I love how Paul just sort of turns his own arguments on its head. He's like, why are you doing this? Stay away. I'm sure that you know this. I'm going to calm down now. But darn it, whoever that guy is who's deceiving you, he's done. I think Paul in this letter is, he's a little emotional. Go on to the next slide here. Yeah, he's a little emotional. Just read those two verses, really. Think about what he's saying. Yeah. I wish those who unsettle you would castrate themselves. That's not graphic. Thanks, Paul.
Where was that? Beware of those dogs, those mutilators of the flesh.
Yeah.
Or that is that different?
That's elsewhere.
That's a different one.
Yes, yes. Same idea. So, I hope we're all thoroughly convinced that freedom in Christ is the way to go. We shouldn't be striving to follow rules, but that we should be trying to do what Jesus would have us do based on what we know of him. So what does that look like? What does that get you? Like, what's your life look like if you're doing that stuff? Not in terms of what rules do you follow.
It's free.
Hmm?
It's free.
It's free? Free to do what?
To love.
To love. Love what?
Love God and love your neighbor.
Bingo.
Oh! Okay, go to the next slide. These guys were cheating. They read ahead. Paul says, do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. I gotta be slave to Russ? Oh. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Help one another, love one another. That's what your freedom gets you. And it gets you the freedom to fail, like Rob talked about. You can succeed, you can fail, you can just be living your life in total confusion. And you're not going to be judged for it. Because that's not the point. You're not following a rule set. You're living a different kind of life. Living a life based on loving and helping one another. And you can put out things that are not... Sure. You don't have to be certain. You can be totally open about your desires. You don't have to worry that you're going to be judged. Because you're like, I think this is right. This is what I'm doing. You can try crazy stuff. I think that is the motivation for people who live absolutely wild Christian lives that make no sense in worldly terms. Some of them crash and burn. Like, one of the strongest arguments for not living a gospel life is that it doesn't work all the time. Sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, and your life falls apart anyway. Yeah, you, me, yeah. But you can be open about what you want. And know that God's in your corner. He's not going to judge you for what you've tried to do. He's not going to judge you for failing to do what you've tried to do. That's what Jesus got you. You can throw away your rule set and try stuff. Because you all love Jesus, right?
Amen.
And in the end, that's the only thing you have to do. Amen.
thoughts occurred to me that I'm going to briefly share with you, and this is going to take a minute. I was thinking about a yeast, because it was one of my favorite versions. A little yeast leavens the whole lump, the whole batch of dough, and everybody knows that. Why is Paul so down on this legalism thing? It's subtle. When we first started City's Edge, and Kathy and Richard will remember this, we were in a small group, and one of the people in the small group who's no longer here so we could openly mock them. Don't ever leave City's Edge. It'll happen to you. We're not mocking here. But they said the best thing we can do for the poor is to not become them. Remember that, Kathy? We'll talk about it later. It wasn't you who said it. No. Do you detect a little bit of legalism in there? You see how subtle that is? That idea that I worked hard, and therefore I deserve what I get. And those schlobs over there aren't working hard, so I'm better than them. Or what about, I have a great family because I knew how to raise my kids. I knew how to love my wife. And the reason that you don't is because you're not as good as me. Subtle. You ever see that happen? It's ugly. Paul hates it. Or how about this? I'm closer to God because I went to Bible college, seminary. So I know more about Him. And so therefore I'm better than you. Hopefully someday you guys can attain to my degree of spirituality. It's subtle and it's ugly as sin. And Paul's saying it only takes a little, and it's amazing how we can spot it in other people and we really have a hard time spotting it in ourselves. Let's live in freedom. We'll close with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you so much that we are free. Lord, help us to realize that everything we have comes from you. Every breath, everything that we've accomplished, if we're blessed, it's because you've blessed us, not because we're wonderful, amazing, hardworking people, but because you have blessed us. Lord, help us to see ourselves that way and be free to love others in whatever circumstance they're in. In Jesus' name.